What is God doing right now?
If God is everywhere, why can't I see him anywhere?
Where is God?
Where is God?
Why is there so much suffering?
Why does God let this happen?
Why won't God answer my prayers?
Who's going to heaven?
How come? Why?
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 What's the point?
What for?
Now it's time for some straight answers to awkward questions with Pastor George Samianch.
Why don't Lutherans fast? This question came from the United States, and the writer continued, "If I'm not mistaken, we're not against it, but it's not a regular part of our practices, so why don't we fast? And what is the point of fasting?" Hello. Welcome to Straight Answers to Awkward Questions on Lutheran Radio UK. I'm George Samiatz, pastor at Ascension Lutheran Church in Brandon, in the county of Suffolk in England. I hope you enjoy the program. Why don't Lutherans fast? The straight answer here is that Lutherans can and do fast. It may have fallen out of use in some countries, or be thought of only at certain times of the year, such as the church season called Lent, the 40 days before Easter, not including the Sundays, in which people give up some delicacy or enjoyment as a way of identifying with Jesus and his path to the cross. So, wherever you're hearing Lutheran Radio UK in the world, today's question and answer might be new to you, or it might be so much a part of your life that you should answer the question. Fasting is the abstaining from something so that its absence allows time for other things to happen. The most common thing I think we associate with fasting is food. So when people fast, they don't eat food, or they limit their food. Usually people still drink when fasting, water, maybe fruit juice, or if they want a hot drink, perhaps a herbal tea of some sort, but stimulants are not on the menu, whether food or drink. There's no official list about foods that should or shouldn't be consumed. Fasts are personal things. Fasts are not a Christian event or experience. All sorts of people, for all sorts of reasons, fast. But it is true that Christians do fast, and it is something well known in the Bible. Pick up a concordance and look up fast, or fasted, or fasting, and once you've eliminated holding fast, or fast asleep, you will discover that fasting occurs pretty regularly throughout the Bible. It is closely associated with prayer. It can occur in times of remorse, repentance, and grief. Individuals, armies, nations fast. These can be short times, a day perhaps, or a week, or until an answer to prayer comes. And then there are longer fasts, most notably of 40 days, undertaken by Moses and by Jesus, or it can be part of a lifestyle, if you think of Anna the prophetess in the temple at the time Jesus was presented as a baby. Christians in the early church, as they looked for God's guidance regarding ministry options before them, what to do and who to send, fasted and prayed. Jesus' comment on fasting in Matthew chapter 6 presumes that his followers will fast when he begins by saying, "And when you fast," note, and not "if you fast." There's quite an irony that Jesus, who did fast, was criticized for his partying, his eating with sinners, and that he and his disciples didn't fast. While the disciples had Jesus in their midst, they didn't fast, at least in comparison to the fasting of the Pharisees and the disciples of John the Baptist, and Jesus explained this as quite natural. Can the wedding guests fast while the bridegroom is with them? As long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast. When Jesus was not in their midst for them to see, then the time for fasting will have arrived. So far I've only mentioned food, as this is by far the most common abstention mentioned. But there is another fast that is mentioned in the Bible, and that is for husbands and wives to refrain from sex for a time. We see this as part of the 3-day preparation and cleansing by the people when they reached Mount Sinai before God descended to meet them. We get an idea of this type of fast when Uriah doesn't go and visit his wife while on military duty, something King David wanted him to do to cover up the fact that Uriah's wife Bathsheba was pregnant by the king. In the New Testament, the Apostle Paul writes about this clearly when in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, he talks about sexual relations between husband and wife and states, "Do not deprive one another, except perhaps by agreement for a limited time, that you may devote yourselves to prayer, but then come together again, so that Satan may not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. Nowhere is it found in the Bible any sense that fasting should occur because the physical world, notably food and sex, but we could broaden it to all creation, is flawed or evil so that we must be apart or separate from it. God's creation is good. There's no physical-spiritual dichotomy in Christianity where the physical is inherently evil and thus fasting, staying away from the physical, automatically is spiritual or gets an automatic nod of approval from God. This dichotomy, spirit good, physical bad, does exist in the world, but it produces an asceticism that Christianity doesn't accept at all. However, we are people of flesh and blood. We live in bodies. Strictly, we are bodies living in this world, facing the question, who is Lord? For the Christian, the answer is Jesus. And we say, Jesus is Lord, and we want to follow him. Nevertheless, we and all people are enslaved or trapped in sinful flesh. Remember Romans chapter 7, the good I want to do, I don't do, and the bad I don't want to do is what I keep doing. We can be enslaved by all sorts of things, from attitudes to behaviours to cannabis. And I say that because I like the ABC of it, where cannabis can stand for all the physical things that can lord it over us and create both a physical and spiritual battleground in us. We simply can be trapped, enslaved, addicted to physical things. And fasting is a way of toning up, if you work with the image, our Christian athleticism. So the Apostle Paul again in 1 Corinthians says, "Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air. But I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest, after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified." One such discipline is fasting. This seems to make fasting an austere, grim-faced event, and there is no doubt that fasting in the Old Testament is very often in the context of anguish, in the environment of sin or death, and is a way of praying intensely. There is also a public dimension to it as well, that others knew what was happening, not just God, and this public knowledge was viewed as additional support, if only in making people think that the person fasting was being more spiritual or holy or close to God. Jesus challenged this look-at-me fasting and changed it to a private, personal experience in which one uses the time previously allocated to whatever you're abstaining from to prepare for the time when the bridegroom returns and the messianic wedding banquet is in full swing. Instead of fearing God, perhaps, and begging for his favour as in previous fastings, the followers of Jesus meditate and pray on the new thing that has happened, that God has become a human body, flesh, one of us, in the person of his Son, that we are not alone facing an uncertain future, for our judgment is proclaimed at each absolution and Holy Communion. And so, uplifted by Jesus and his presence and promise in faith, we also then seek God's will for that moment, time, situation, event, both the sins we are to repent and the amended behaviour that comes from that repentance, and the grace of God we are to embrace as well. No longer is fasting possibly a chore, but now paradoxically times of joy as we grow closer to God, when the experience itself often seems so ho-hum and ordinary as our stomach rumbles. So from Matthew chapter 6, Jesus said, "And when you fast, do not look gloomy like hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you." And in Mark chapter 2 we read, "Now John's disciples and the Pharisees were fasting. And people came and said to Jesus, Why do John's disciples and the disciples of the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast? And Jesus said to them, Can the wedding guests fast while the bridegroom is with them? As long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast. The days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and then they will fast in that day. No one sews a piece of unshrunk cloth on an old garment. If he does, the patch tears away from it, the new from the old, and a worse tear is made. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins. If he does, the wine will burst the skins, and the wine is destroyed, and so are the skins. But new wine is for fresh wineskins. Fasting is a private and personal means of combining time, prayer, and meditation on God's Word, so that we may more honestly struggle with our sins and rejoice in God's grace shown in Jesus. While the initial focus on the fast is something physical, usually food, the truth is we are also, and one might say more truly, battling not flesh and blood, but we're up against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Ephesians chapter 6. There is a spiritual warfare context here, whereby the Christian puts on the whole armor of God and prays for himself or herself, for fellow Christians known, and for the church and the world around him or her. This is not arm wrestling God at all, but being confident that God is gracious and won't sit on his hands and do nothing, even if, especially if, that is exactly what appears to be happening. In such prayer and fasting, people can also get insight into their behavior, what he or she might do to be a blessing to those around them. As private and personal, fasting is not mandated to times and seasons and places at all. Some people shouldn't fast if it is to result in physical harm. Others of us may choose to do so for a while, a season, or as a lifestyle. The point being, no one really should know. It is between you and God. Nevertheless, it does seem that being private and personal has also made fasting invisible, and that is a shame. Fasting might make sinners smug. That's always a problem for us. We're sinners, after all, who like to chalk up self-righteousness points. Nevertheless, it is an opportunity to, paradoxically, taste and see that the Lord is good. And that's an invitation with promise.
If you'd like some straight answers, send your awkward questions to me, George Samyets, at Lutheran Radio UK. That is at info@lutheranradio.co.uk. Goodbye.